Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord. Brooklyn, come on, clap your hands, stand to your feet, and lift up a praise in this room for our King. Come on, open up your mouth. I know you have your mask on, but come on, open up your mouth and give God praise. You're not Muslim, so go ahead and open up your mouth and bless the name of our God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Come on, whether you're watching online, you're in the room, we thank you and welcome you to today's encounter. Now lift up your hands, lift up your voices, open up your mouth and give God praise in this room. Come on, we've come to exalt the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, Adonai, El Shaddai, El Elyon, Yeshua. Jesus, we come to lift you higher. Yes, Father, we love you, hey, and we want your presence. Come on, we come hungering and thirsting for more of you, Jesus. Come on, we want Jesus, we want Jesus. Come on, Jesus, come into the room. Jesus, come into the room. Jesus, come into this room. Come on, we want the presence of the Lord. Does anyone know him to be Jehovah, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Nisi, Jehovah Tishkanu? Do you know him to be the great Jehovah, our God, our sovereign Lord? Oh my God, come on, clap your hands right there. Yep. Everybody clap those hands. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Yep. Say,
and
seated high,
seated high.
You are Lord.
You are Lord of
say, great I am,
great I am.
Sovereign ruler,
sovereign
ruler.
Lion of Judah,
you are
God.
Here we go. Say, things will change.
Change.
Things will change. We come to exalt you, Jesus. We come to exalt you, Jesus.
Good morning, Brooklyn. Let us pray. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength, my redeemer. Heavenly Father, we come before you, Lord, praising your holy and divine name, Father. Blessing you and keeping you and guiding you and strengthening us, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for your protection as we slept and stumbled last night, Lord. As always, Father, we thank you for waking us up this morning with reasonable health and strength, Father, starting us on another day's journey down this Christian path, Father. We thank you for the food on our tables, clothes on our backs, and the roof is still over our heads, Father. We thank you, Father, for all that you've done for us, all you're doing for us, all that you will do for us, Lord. We cannot thank you enough, Father. If we had 10,000 talents, Father, it wouldn't be enough, Father. If we had 10 million talents, Father, it still wouldn't be enough. 10 billion talents, Father, still would not be enough. We simply say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. One for the Father, one for the Son, and one for the Holy Spirit. We thank you, Father, for being our one and only true and living God, Father, who sits high and looks low, who's the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last, the great I am that I am. We thank you, Father, for your darling Son, Jesus Christ, Father, who allowed to live, die, and resurrect for us and all our sins, Father, so that we can be saved, because we could not save ourselves, Father. Thank you, Father, you say you will never leave us or forsake us, Father. You will send us a comforter. We thank you for your Holy Spirit that rests, rules, abides within us, Father, and guides us down the path of righteousness for Jesus' name's sake, because we have no righteousness of our own, Father. We thank you, Lord, for knowing what we need, when we need it, and how we need it, Father. We praise your holy and divine name. We come before you, Father, submitting ourselves to you humbly, Lord. Forgive us of our sins, Father, as we've done many things in the past, Father. Father, we've gone some places, we've said some things, we've done some things, and we have even thought of some things that were just displeasing to you, Father. Forgive us of our sins, Father. Help us, Lord, to remove at least one less sin in our lives, Father. Help us to remove the sin of unforgiveness, Lord. Help us, Lord, to forgive those who have sinned against us, just as you've forgiven us who have sinned against you, Lord. We love you and we praise you, Father. And we come before you, Father, asking you to bless us, keep us, guide us, and strengthen us, Lord. Bless the sick and shut in, the homeless and the hungry, the bereaved and the grieving, the imprisoned and the troubled, Lord. We ask you, Lord, to bless our children, Father. Bless them as they go forth through school, Father, as they go through Sunday school and church services and children's church, Father, and Bible study, Father, as they become the next generation of believers, Father. Bless them, Father, as they go forth through school face-to-face and virtual, Lord. Bless them, Father, as they become the next generation of leaders, Lord. We ask you, Lord, to protect them from the bullying of this world, Father, not just the physical bullying, but the cyberbullying as well, Lord. Bless them and keep them and guide them throughout their life, Father. Father, we come before you, Father, ask you to bless us all and keep us all, Father. Thank you to bless our pastor and assistant pastor as they rightly divide your word through the preaching and the teaching of your word, Lord. Bless us all. Bless Brooklyn Baptist Church congregation, Lord. Bless mankind throughout this land, Father. Father, we come before you, Father, with your special blessing through this pandemic, this plague. We ask you, Father, to continue to give us the mind and the understanding of how this virus works and how the vaccine works, Father. Continue to protect those who are vaccinated. In spite of catching the virus, they will end up with just minor symptoms, Father. Special blessing for those who are not vaccinated, Lord. Give them understanding of what this virus does and what the vaccination will do for them, Lord. We love you and we praise you and we honor you and we glorify your name. We've done all we've done down on this side of Jordan. You actually prepare a place for us, Father, where the wicked would cease from troubling, where the wicked would cease to be existing, where the wicked would be no more, Father, and where our weary souls will be at rest. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Thank you.
Come on, church, you know it.
Unchanging hand. Glory, hallelujah. I'm so thankful that we can hold to his hands. During this time of COVID, we can hold on to God's unchanging hand. Amen. During every day, each and every day, any situation, we can hold on to God's unchanging hand. Hallelujah. Welcome, welcome to the Gathered Church. For all of you who are watching via Facebook, we encourage you to hit that like button and share with a friend or family member. Let them know that at Brookland, we're holding on to God's unchanging hand. Amen. We're serving God in spirit and in truth. Glory to God. For those who are watching via YouTube, let us know where you're watching from in the comment section. And again, for those of you who are here, we certainly thank God for you. Amen. We'd like to share with you here at Brookland, amidst this COVID season, we just trust God, amen? And we're thankful that God has provided us with a means to receive our vaccine. We're continuing our partnership here at Brookland with the Lexington Medical Center. We're offering the vaccine clinic at our Health and Wellness Center. The hours of operation are Mondays through Fridays from 8 o'clock to 6 p.m., Saturdays, Sundays from 1 o'clock p.m. to 4 o'clock p.m. Now listen, there's no appointment needed. Just walk in. If you've already received your first vaccine, bring your vaccination card and your ID. And the good news is we're offering this vaccine for children 5 years old through 18 and adults, so the entire family can receive their vaccine. Amen? We're certainly excited about that. Now, it is offering time here at Brookland. I'm certainly excited about that because that's God's will for us to give. Amen? Give, and it shall be given unto you. Now, I always ask God, God, what would you have me to say about giving? And I read in Genesis, the 27th verse, 28th chapter, it says, Isaac sowed a seed in the land. And in that same year, can somebody say same year? In that same year, he received a 100-fold return. Amen? So we're not really hyping up the return. We're excited because God honors his promises. Amen? And we are blessed to be a blessing, not only to the kingdom of God, but for our family, our friends, all over. Amen? So we'd like to, in the words of our pastor, maintain what God has attained. Amen. So it is offering time. There are 5 different ways that you can give. You can give via our Shelby app. You can give online. You can mail your offering and your tithes in. You can go by the credit union and drop that off. And for those of you who are here, there are boxes in the exit area, so you can go and give in those portals. Amen. So let us pray over our offering this morning. Most gracious and heavenly God, we set our heart on you, Lord God. We thank you for this opportunity to give of our tithes and our offering. As we give today's tithes and offering, Lord God, we thank you, Lord God. We thank you for just being God. We thank you, Lord God, that you loadeth us daily with your benefits of joy, your benefits of peace, your benefits of healing, your benefits of wisdom, knowledge, and quick understanding for every situation and circumstance that we may face. Father, we thank you, Lord God. As our pastor has proclaimed, this is the year of your favor, Lord God, upon our lives. So we decree it and we declare it now. Your favor upon each and every one. In Jesus' name, we give you the glory and the honor. Amen.
Slain, that is slain, with 7 eyes around him and 7 horns attached to him as well. Scripture says that as John was looking at this lamb on the throne, the angels began to sing, worthy is the lamb that was slain. Worthy is the lamb that was slain. So before we sing this song, can you lift your hands and close your eyes and see the lamb that was slain on the throne? Who's worthy of honor, glory, power, dominion. Come on, look at him. Hallelujah. We thank you, Jesus. We've come to honor you, Jesus. No, Jesus. Come on, come on. Lift up your hands and your voices and see him, see him, see him. Oh, my God. Glory. everybody say,
glory to the Lamb.
We sing glory. We sing
glory to the Lamb.
We give
glory to the Lamb.
For he is
Alpha,
Omega,
Omega.
Forever is he. Church, help me say it. Glory. Come on, we sing glory. Interesting about Revelation 5 is that the elder looks at John and says, John, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has prevailed. And then when John turns around, he sees a lamb. The elder says, the Lion of Judah has prevailed. He turns around and he sees a lamb. What's beautiful about the Christian religion, about our faith, is that most people need something that looks strong and mighty to know it's powerful. But we can look at a lamb and know it's just as powerful. We can look at a lamb who was slain. Whoa, 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 whoa. We can look at a lamb that was slain and he has all power. I wish I had someone in the room that would honor the lamb. The lamb, hey, the lamb, hey, the lamb. lift up your hands right there. Minister to him. Don't wait for me. Minister to him.
We honor. glory to the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Glory, hallelujah. Bless his holy name. The joy of the Lord is ours as believers in Jesus, our Christ. We want to thank Minister Dexter Weathers and our young adult worship team for their songs of praises today. I also want to thank Dr. Jackie Jones Brown for serving as our worship leader. And I also want to say a special thank you to Deacon Arnold Benson. I would want you to know that just recently, last month or two, Deacon Arnold Benson was honored in a major way at the Citadel by having a room named in his honor for having graduated with outstanding honors in engineering. And I think he was the first African-American to graduate from the Citadel in engineering, so we certainly praise God so much for that. Over the past few weeks, we have had to try and minister some very painful, grieving families where parents have had to experience the reversal of nature in laying to rest a child. We have had six such painfully grieving experiences over the last couple of weeks. The Catino family, the Tolliver family, Mickens and Daniels family, McNeil family, on just yesterday, Myers and Blake family, and now the Wallace family. I've learned from parents that there is no such pain that comes close to the pain of having one of your children to predecease you. And I want to say one, two, or three things about that, if you don't mind. When you seek to express your condolence to families such as that, please, and I want to talk to the Brooklyn members of Brooklyn, because I would want you to be informed. Please do not say to them, "I know what you're going through." You do not know what parents are going through when one of their children passes. And so rather than saying, "I know what you're going through," be sincere in expressing your condolences and making known to them that should they need you, you make yourself available for them. The second thing I want to say is this, to Brooklyn members, please don't go to a grieving family and ask them, "Can they be on the program?" What are you expecting them to say? No. You put them in a bind when you go to them and say, "I knew him so well, meant so much. Can I say something on the program?" And then when they put you on the program, this is the Brooklyn members now. When they put you on the program and they ask you to speak 3 minutes, don't speak 15 minutes. Let's show some respect to the family who would have us to say a word or two at the homegoing of their loved one. What you want to do is write out what you're going to say and then go over it. And if you see it's 6 minutes, cut 3 minutes off. Do it in respect to the family. Please, ma'am, and please, sir. Then one other thing I want to say, and I've had a couple of folk to get upset with me years past, because persons will come to the funeral service and say, "Pastor, can I say something on behalf? This is such a good friend of mine. Can I have something to say?" Now, I'm going to say no, because your name is not on the program. And during those instances, I have indicated to them if there's something that's really pressing in your grief that you would like to say to the family, return to the repast. And when the family is having the repast, I will speak to them, get permission, and when we'll give you opportunity to speak. But for some reason, not one time has anybody returned for the repast who wanted to say something to the family. And then one other thing, and then I'm going to take my ticks. When you visit grieving families, don't stay all night. I mean, sitting around the house from 5 o'clock to 10 at night, eating up the food that other folk bring them. Now, the reason I'm saying that is this. Family members are not going to tell you to leave. But they'll tell me, Pastor, can you tell them to leave? We need to get some rest. So as we share condolence, members of Brooklyn, let's keep these considerations in mind and show respect to persons who are having a very difficult time handling the death of one whom they love so much. I said all that to say this. I preached for the McNeil family on the 2nd of January, whose son Jonathan was tragically killed. And in that sermon, the Lord had me to look at the 4th chapter, Mark, and there were a few things of which I said. But while studying that text, revisiting it, the Lord showed me some other things that I might want to share with all of you. So I want to expand and expound on this sermon given in the 4th chapter of the Gospel of Mark, verses numbers 38 and 34. I was only able to preach about 10 or 12 minutes, but there's so much more in it, and I want to bring it to you today that it might be of encouragement. Mark's Gospel, chapter 4, verse 38 and 39, according to the New International Version. Listen to what it says. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. I want to try to preach from the subject, particularly that verse number 38, where it says, "We're about to drown." I want to preach from the subject, "I won't let you drown." Listen to the words of our Lord. "I won't let you drown." Jesus and his disciples were aboard a ship sailing across the Sea of Galilee. When they first began to sail, the sea was calm and all was well. However, shortly thereafterwards, all of a sudden, the winds came screaming down through the mountains. The boisterous billows began to dash against the ship. The rain began to fall and fill up the ship upon which they were sailing. The lightning started playing its nimble zigzag game against the black bosom of the angry clouds. The thunder started clapping with terrific fury. There the disciples were, facing winds, waves, and water, battling against the winds, the waves, and the water. Though they were seafaring professionals, never had they seen such a raging storm as they were now experiencing. So there they were, the Bible says, in panic and fear. They went to Jesus, and they woke Jesus from his sleep. And they asked Jesus if he cared about them. They said to Jesus, we've been on the top and we have been discussing the impending doom toward which we seem to be headed. And we want to know, Jesus, do you care about it? In fact, some of the brethren are wondering how it is that you can sleep in the midst of such a raging storm. You are supposed to be one that's filled with compassion, and we've seen many miracles that you've already performed, and here we are now about to drown, and you are sleeping here in the hinder part of the ship. Do you really care about us? We don't understand it, because we have used every degree of skill possible to try to weather this storm and steady this ship that it might land safely on the shore. And here you are asleep. Do you care about us? They were saying to Jesus, Jesus, we are bound to drown. Now, when I survey that text and take note of drowning circumstances, I said to myself upon looking at the whole text that there was no way the disciples could drown under those circumstances. There may have been other circumstances, but under those circumstances, as are given to us in this fourth chapter, there was absolutely no way the disciples should have been able to drown. There may have been drowning circumstances, but this text reveals to us that there was no way they could possibly drown. The Lord had me to share that with you today, because all of us will find ourselves at some point in life with circumstances that are about to overwhelm us. We'll find ourselves facing some storms in our lives, and we wonder sometimes, are we going to make it? Will I ever get over what I find myself going through? And it just looks like sometimes we just seem to be feeling that we're being pulled under slowly by the downpour of the rain and the winds blowing. The winds of opposition and rejection. The waves of adversity and stress. The waters of trouble and turmoil. Sometimes when they come one after another, and have you ever experienced that? There's one problem after another. Just as soon as you seem to be dealing with the winds, here come the waves. You're dealing with the winds and the waves, and then here comes the water. Then all of a sudden, it looks like wind, waves, and water come all at the same time. Like the disciples, you begin to wonder whether or not you're going to drown under what looks like drowning circumstances. If you're one today, I would that this word from God speak encouragement to your heart. I would that this story here in the fourth chapter of Mark give you some comfort and courage in the midst of the storm in which you might be facing. My mentor, the late Dr. William Augustus Jones, who preached a number of revivals right here at the Brooklyn Church, said to us one revival, he said, every one of us falls into at least one of the next three categories. He said, all of us are either in a storm, we've just come out of a storm, or we're headed toward a storm in a brief while. In other words, in all of our lives, storms will come. And see, what the enemy wants to do, the enemy wants to play tricks on your mind. The enemy wants you to want to jump overboard, wants you to abandon the ship. In other words, give up on God. God is supposed to be gracious and merciful. God is supposed to be so loving. Then why has God allowed this raging storm come into my life? So when you find yourself facing a storm likened to the storm the disciples were facing, I would that you hear what the Lord said to them, because he says the same thing to you today. The Lord is saying to you, if you're facing a storm right now, the Lord is saying to you, I won't let you drown. I don't know who this word is for today, but the Lord is saying, I won't let you drown. The winds of opposition cannot blow you away. The waves of adversity cannot defeat you. The waters of trouble cannot destroy you. The flashing lightning of critics cannot strike you down. The thundering of liars cannot uproot you from your foundation. The Lord is saying to somebody, I won't let you drown. Let's look at the text that we might see why it was that the disciples could not drown under drowning circumstances. What was it that enabled them, or that should have enabled them, to feel safe and secure when battling winds, waves, and water? Well, the first thing that the Lord showed me is this, that the disciples could not drown because of what Jesus had said. And we will not drown because of what the Lord has said. Are you praying right now? I won't let you down. I won't let you drown. Why? Because of what the Lord has said. Let's look at it. In verse number 38, you will note that the disciples spoke of drowning. They were in panic. They feared that they were about to drown. But you cannot get to verse 38 without first of all stopping by verse 35. Based on what Jesus said in verse 35, there was an assurance in verse 38 that they would not drown. Put it up there. I want to show it to everybody. Let's look at verse 38 first of all, if you don't mind. Mark chapter 4, verse 38 says, Jesus was in the stern. Now the King James Version says he was in the hinder part of the ship. But the NIV says Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him up and said to him, Teacher, don't you care if we drown? So the disciples thought that they were going to drown, but they forgot what Jesus said in verse 35. Let's go to verse 35 and see what he says. That day, when evening came, he, meaning Jesus, said to his disciples, let us go over to the other side. The reason the disciples could not drown in verse 38 is because of what Jesus had already said in verse 35. In verse 35, Jesus said, let us go. I'm beginning to feel all right here. Pray with me here. Let us go to the other side. They could not drown because they had not yet reached the other side. They had not made it to their destination. Jesus did not say, let us go to the middle. He said, let us go to the other side. He's talking to somebody today through this text. If you're caught up in a storm and you're battling with wind, waves, and water, the Lord told me to tell you, you're only in the middle. You're only in the middle. So hold on, grab hold to the anchor, steady yourself. You have not made it to the other side. You're only in the middle. And what you want to do when you find yourself caught up in that raging storm, just remember what he said. Can I tell you what he said? All you got to do in the storm is remember what he said. He said in Isaiah 54:17, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. He said, 2 Corinthians 12:19, my grace is sufficient for you. He said in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. He said in Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches in glory. All you got to do is remember what he said. He said in John 14:1, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. When the storms are raging in your life, just remember what he said. They were talking about drowning in verse number 38 and forgot what he said in verse 35. Verse 35 said, we're going to make it to the other side. And that's what he's saying to you today. You don't have to abandon the ship. You don't have to become depressed and remain depressed week after week after week. You don't have to despair. Just remember what he said. Matthew 28:20, lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. They could not drown because of what he said. We cannot drown because of what the Lord has said. Not only that, though they were in drowning circumstances, they could not drown because of where Jesus was. We will not drown because of where the Lord is. Ah, glory, hallelujah. The Bible says in verse number 36 that they took Jesus with them. They could not drown because Jesus was on board the ship upon which they were sailing. Glory, hallelujah. The Lord told me to tell you today, wherever you go, be sure you've got Jesus with you. Whatever you do, be sure you've got Jesus with you. The truth of the matter is, you ought not go anywhere where you cannot take Jesus. There is nothing that you ought to be doing that you can't invite Jesus to be a part of what you're doing. Wherever you are, wherever you go, be sure you've got Jesus with you in your home. Be sure Jesus is there. Put your family in a relationship, at school, on your job, social circles, whatever civic organizations to which you belong, in your community. Be sure that you've got Jesus with you. I don't want to go anywhere, be around anybody without Jesus with me. Songwriter says, I want Jesus. I'll go wherever Jesus is. Wherever I go, I want Jesus to be there. I'll go all the way as long as Jesus is with me. I don't care about the valleys and the countless dangers as long as I got Jesus with me. I don't care how high the mountains might seem to be, as long as I got Jesus with me. I don't care how the battle may rage, as long as I've got Jesus with me, I'll go anywhere. They could not drown because Jesus was with them. And then I see something else in that text, according to the King James Version. King James Version says that Jesus was in the hinder part of the ship. Now, the hinder part of the ship was down below the upper deck of the ship. So the disciples were up. Are you praying for that? Jesus was down. The disciples were on top. Jesus was at the bottom. Are y'all praying here now? I'm trying to bless somebody here. The disciples were above. Jesus was beneath. Do you know what that lets me know? That lets me know that before the disciples up top could drown, Jesus at the bottom had to drown first. Jesus had to drown before they drowned, because they were up and Jesus was down. I want to bless somebody right here now. You got to make sure that you've got somebody beneath you holding you up. Do you have the Lord Jesus holding you up? I can say today with confidence in the faith, I can't go down. I can't go down because I've got Jesus holding me up. I wish I could say it's my education holding me up, but it's not my education. It's not my 50 years of pastoring the Brooklyn church that's holding me up. It's not who I know or who knows me that's holding me up. I'm being held up. Can I get a witness in here from somebody who don't mind testifying, from somebody in your neighborhood? I'm being held up because Jesus is holding me up. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and his righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but I'm a hold on. I'm a hold on to Jesus' name. They were afraid of drowning, but they should not have been afraid of drowning. The circumstances might have been suggestive of drowning, but they could not drown because of what Jesus had said. They could not drown because of where Jesus was. Jesus was with them. And then third and finally, the third reason why that they could not drown, though the circumstances seemed to have been suggestive of drowning, is because of who Jesus is. We will not drown because of who the Lord is. Well, I want to try to bless you today. There they were, battling with winds, waves, and water. Afraid that they were going to drown. Jesus said to them, as he says to you and me today, I won't let you drown. Whew. If God says something, I'm going to believe it. And I'm going to take God at his word. God says I won't drown if I remember what he says. God says I won't drown if I've got Jesus with me everywhere I go. God says I won't drown if I know who he is. Whew. Drowning circumstances. God says, I won't let you drown. Let me tell you about life. And if you've yet to experience it on this order, keep on living. Keep on waking up. Life can be testing, mind baffling, cause us to ponder and wonder sometimes about who the Lord is and if the Lord really cares for us like he says he does. You can be getting along well. Health is good. Family is fine. Finances intact. Able to pay all your bills on time. Your future can look rather promising for you. Things are going so well. But does anybody in here know that all it takes is one tragic experience? All it takes is one painful encounter, and it can turn your whole world upside down. One experience, and you find yourself wondering, am I going to ever get through this? When we find ourselves asking that question, remember what he said. Remember to be certain that you have him with you. If Jesus goes with me, I'll go anywhere. And then remember who he is. Because whoever he is, he's always been. And who he has always been, he will always be. Do you know who he is? Can I tell you who he is? He is Abraham's sacrifice on the top of Mount Moriah. He is Moses, pillar of cloud and pillar of fire. He is Gideon's angel of the Lord. He is Ruth, kinsman redeemer. He's Samuel, Ark of the Covenant. He's Solomon's wisdom of Israel. He's David's battle axe. He's Daniel's handwriter on the wall. He's Isaiah's high and lifted up. He's Jeremiah's fire shut up in your bones. He's Ezekiel's wheel in the middle of a wheel. He's Joel's Holy Ghost baptizer. He's a Haggai's desire of all nations. He's a Malachi's son of righteousness. Let me ask you again, do you know who he is? He is the rose of Sharon that never fades. He is the bright and morning star that never grows dim. He is a sure foundation that can never be shaken. He is an eternal fountain that never ceases to flow. Let me ask you again, do you know who he is? He is the way that never leads astray. He is the truth that never lies. He is life that never dies. Do you know who he is? Somebody may know him like this. He's mama's God. He's the prayer answering father. He is Mary's baby, the immaculate lamb of God. I know who he is. I know who he is. He walks with me. He talks with me. He talks. He tells me that I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. When you are facing what seems to be drowning circumstances, always remember what he said. Be certain that he's on board your life's boat. And be certain that you know who he is, because he'll give you peace if you know him as the Prince of Peace in the midst of a storm. If you know him as joy, you'll know that weeping gonna endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Be certain that you know who he is. I would that you be encouraged today. I would you be comforted and gain courage as you hear the Lord saying to you, I won't let you drown. Let's Let's put our hand together for this awesome God whom we serve. Glory, hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. You are my strength. That's how I know him. I know him as my strength. To each of those parents who have laid to rest a child, the prayer I prayed for each one of them has been, Lord, give them supernatural strength. I would think you need the strength that's not natural. You need something that's super. You need God to put his super onto your natural. You just don't get over that. You get through it, perhaps. So you need supernatural strength. Come on, sing that for us, son. You are my strength.
You are my strength.
Oh, my God.
Strength like no other. Strength like no other. And reaches to me.
Struggling. Sing that song to the glory of God.
Strength like no other.
He said in Isaiah 40 and 30, he gives power to the faint. And to them that have no might, he increases their strength. Today, if you're present and have not Jesus on the lifeboat on which you're sailing in life, come down the aisle today. Get it, fix it up right now. They used to sing a song, fix it up with Jesus right now. Fix it up with Jesus right now. Hallelujah. Oh, you may want to join up. Somebody's coming right now. Hallelujah. Praise his holy name. Deacon Willie Morgan, man, thank you so much, man. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for being encouraged and inspired by that word today. Somebody else may want to come. Y'all keep singing. See, that spirit. That's why I'm going to be so glad when we can take these masks off. Amen. Because a song like that, we want the choir to sing it until the roofs open up. Keep singing it, because somebody else may want to come. We feel inhibited because of all the masks that we're wearing. Somebody else may want to come, or you may want to join others by calling that number right there. We want you to be a part of this miracle that's unfolding right here on Sunset Boulevard. I'll be so glad when our choirs can come back. Thank you so we can sing that song till the roof opens up. Someone to pray for us. Keep playing, y'all. Don't stop. Keep playing. That sounds so good. If you'd like to have prayer, call that number right there. If you feel yourself about to be pulled under by winds, waves, and water, call that number. If you're facing drowning circumstances but have been reassured in your faith walk today that you're not going to drown and you need some prayer help, call that number today. We want to pray with you. We want to pray with you. You lift me up. I thought somebody would pick it up after I said that, but nobody would say a word. They just want to stop singing that song so bad. I don't know why they want to stop singing that song. Doesn't that song sound good to y'all? They want to stop singing that song.
In the fullness of your grace and in the power of your name, you lift me up.
Let's go to God now in prayer. Let's go to God in prayer now as they continue to play softly. For some reason. As they continue to play softly. Let's go together in prayer. let's pray for the unvaccinated, that the Lord will open their hearts that they might see, their minds, and move on their hearts they might see the grave need of becoming fully vaccinated. The numbers are horrendous. It's unbelievable. I have some selfish reasons, because I wanted to get back in church like me without these masks on. I tell you, brothers, I'm going to get back in church so we won't have the inhibitions and we can sing to the glory of God. Praises unto him. Good Lord, I thank you for my journey. Let us pray. God, our Father, I thank you for the inspiration of your word and what you showed me in that fourth chapter of Mark, a passage from which we've tried to preach several times, from the caring person you are in Jesus Christ. But thank you, God, for the word to give encouragement to us today that we won't drown if we remember what you said and have you on board our lives and know who you are. The winds and the waves and the water might trouble us sometimes, but you can speak, peace be still, to any stormy situation, because you've already done it. We've seen you do it before, and we know, God, you can continue doing what you've already done, because that's the God you are. So we thank you, God. God, we pray for whoever might be unsaved, that they might get you on board, God. I pray that one thing the COVID pandemic might do is serve notice to people, God, that they need Jesus. They need Jesus. If there's anybody who has yet to get Jesus on board, I pray, God, that they will have an awakening right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Those who are unvaccinated, God, open their minds so their eyes can see the need. Move on their hearts, God, to want to do something for somebody else, for the safety and the life of somebody else, though they feel themselves they may not need it. But help them think of others, dear God, and the many who are still dying because we have yet been able to stop it, spread. I pray for that in the name of Jesus Christ. Everyone, God, who finds themselves in a storm right now, speak to them through this word. Quiet, be still. There's going to be a blessing on the other side of the through in which they find themselves going. Hear what's in my heart, God, for your people on this blessed day of worship. Grant it according to what your will is, and we'll be mindful to praise you for it all. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace and prosperity now and always. Jesus Christ.